Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Well, good evening, everyone. I hope everyone has had a wonderful week and a wonderful weekend so far. My name is Maria Wilson Duff, and I'm on tonight with Sherry Pang. And Jason Ophir has taken the night off, if anyone can believe that. So, Sherry, it's up to me and you, and I think we're big girls enough to handle this, don't you?
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm used to being on radio now with Jason for what, 3.5 years now? So thank you, Maria, for joining me. It's nice to not be able to have to do a show by yourself. So, but yes, hi everybody. Yeah, we're here at Paranormal Horizons. And first of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for your support and following us. We are very close to 3,500 likes. So yes, thank you for your participation and support. And, you know, it's great. We, you know, like I said earlier, the things that we post is not necessarily our thoughts and feelings or pushing our way of thinking. It's just for entertainment purposes. And if we can bring a smile or a laugh to your day, that's what it's all about.
Yes, we've kind of found out that people really don't like paranormal posts anymore, and they like humor, and we've got some pretty dark sense of humor and potty language and all kinds of good stuff on our Facebook page.
And,
you know,
and I see what we had at 3,502 likes, so that's cool. And luckily, Maria, you post some pretty good stuff. It's brought some laughter and a smile to my day, so it's great if we can entertain our followers and our supporters. It's great.
Definitely, because we've all kind of noticed that here lately we all need something to smile about. I mean, there's always something negative going on, and you've got people that are just cruel and mean and hateful, and that's kind of going to be our subject for this evening. We've got a lot of paranormal people in this field that just really give us a bad name for the people like you that try to help people and with your medicine and all of your readings, and you really do reach out to help others. And then you've got these people that want to charge for coming and cleansing your home, or they want to charge for doing a paranormal investigation. And we really want to get the message out to people that you do not pay someone to come and investigate your home. This is to be a free service to you. If you're paying somebody, I'm sorry, that's just wrong, and they're just out for the money. And you don't have any repercussions of paying them to come in there to do anything. And they could make it worse. They could act like they didn't find anything at all. They could be complete phonies, and you've just been ripped off. So we're kind of going to try to talk about that this evening. And we've brought Jason Wilkerson on, who is a paranormal investigator, and he's been doing this for several years. And he goes to these conventions, and he's done many, many investigations, and he has seen a lot of trickery around. And I did say trickery. I didn't say the word that we normally do that kind of sounds like that, but is really bad. So I'm going to bring Jason on right now. Are you there, Jason?
I am. How are you all tonight?
Good, Jason.
We're
How
great.
Are you?
Perfect. Thank you guys for asking me to be on. It's a pleasure to be on, and I hope we'll get out to the Oregon, the Cannon beach area sometime this year. I love it out there in that area. It's beautiful. So I'm jealous that you're in Oregon.
Give me
and I'm
Cannon Beach. Give me a holler. Shoot me up. You know, when you give me a shout out when you're about ready to head out, and we'll connect.
Awesome. Will do.
Excellent. Jason is very well traveled. I don't think there is a place in the world that Jason wouldn't go if he can get there.
So, Jason, just go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell our audience a little bit about you, and we'll just go right into shooting in the subject matter that you'd like to go and talk about.
Well, I've been doing this for about 17 years. The name of my small group, and I say small because it's usually just me or me and my daughter when she's not working or doing school, is Blue Paranormal, a name I came up with. Stands for Beyond Living Unique Experiences. I've probably been to at least 400 different locations in the 17 years, and it just gets more and more interesting as I go to locations, events. I mean, that's kind of, you know, and I don't like the word term that people put out there is paranormal police, because I'm not trying to police the paranormal. We had somebody that tried to do that a few years ago, and it didn't work out. I just feel like there's a lot of, I will use the word, it's not trickery, it's fakery, but I will use that word because there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on at these events that people charge for. If you go to enough events and you watch stuff like this, you can really feel out and tell who's real and who's not. So I enjoy investigating. They call me the EVP King. I've not ever agreed to that, but I just go and I have my recorder and my headphones, and that's what I do. But I do love going to events and seeing some of the stuff that these gullible, I hate to put it in that phrase, but gullible people still in this field, in this world, that get taken advantage of.
And how do
Jason
you
is
they,
the EVP King.
Jason, how do they get taken advantage of? So when you're for the people that are listening, how do they get taken advantage of?
Well, you know, I had no idea 17 years ago what a medium was. You know, psychics and stuff like that. I hate to use the word psychic, but, you know, that's back in those days. It was what you see on TV. You call Miss Cleo and so on and so forth from that. And it's progressed over the years to, you know, mediums, clairvoyance, whatever. And I had no idea what this stuff was until about 8 years ago. I was newly married. My daughter, they wanted to go on a ghost hunt. They knew that's what I did, and I took them. And through a weird thing of events that happened at this event we were at, my daughter actually snapped in, and like it clicked that she had this gift. So, you know, I went and tested her, and I say tested her. I took her to places I'd been, like the Cary Nation House. I mean, places that she at 13 would not know anything about. And she's phenomenal. I mean, and I say that, you know, being around mediums for a long time after her, because I've had some stuff in my past that I've always wanted to ask about, and nobody could ever get it right, and she couldn't read me being the connection between, you know, father-stepdaughter. But I just see so many people out here that take advantage of people that are in need, and they charge a fortune for this stuff. And I mean, this house cleansing stuff is just this has gotten me really just over the top when people charge for house cleansings. And I mean, I just found somebody tonight that does remote cleansings, and I'm like, how is it possible to cleanse somebody's house and not be there, and then you want to charge $200 to do that? So it's just these, I feel like people spend their hard-earned money to come to these events and see these para-celebrities, you know, TV people, whatever, which we work a lot of. And it just it breaks me down when you see people that are literally just cold reading, and I don't like to call out all mediums, but you see so many people that do this all the time, and you know that they can barely read a book, much less a person.
Wow.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about that, especially like the Long Island medium and the general readings that they give. I mean, it's like you can put, you can point your finger at anybody in the room and go, oh, you have a deceased family member. Yeah. Most people do. You know, it's things like that.
And I don't like to refer back to my, I don't like to refer back to my daughter and like put it, you know, tap her on the back and everything else. But in my opinion of when I go get a reading, the last thing I want to do is have the medium or whatever ask questions continuously through this. Like they're like, you know, they're fishing for whatever they're trying to get to. And that's one thing she never does. You know, she doesn't ask questions. And, you know, I've only had one person in my life of all the people I've went to actually read me, and she doesn't practice, but she read me like a book. I mean, she told me everything, told me the inside of the house. I mean, it was like she was just looking at a book and just reading through it and telling me everything. And to this day, she's the only one I trust outside of my daughter. Like I say, she doesn't practice, but, you know, I've met some really genuine people in the field, but for the most part, you know, there is a ton of fake people out there that just take advantage every single event, you know, readings and like you say, house cleansings. I mean, I've just never understood why somebody would pay to have their house cleansed. It's so bad right now that realtor.com has an ad out from, I think, the American Association of Psychics. You know, if you want to get your house cleansed, this is who you go to. You know, what are they paying a realtor.com website to put their name out there?
Wow.
Oh, that's insane.
So
that makes no sense to me.
Somebody's paying somebody.
Well, you know, and like I said, I guess people would look at me as being wrong as for calling out somebody that I've never been associated with, never met. But I guess it's just the fact, you know, the one guy is from North Dakota. I thank him for his service. I will do that. But they call him the military medium. And this is the one I was telling you about, the remote cleansing. He's actually changed his website from the last time I looked at it. But he actually, his last website, he had a 365-day mediumship. So pretty much you paid $2,500 a year, and you could call him or email him or text him anytime you wanted to in that year. And I'm like, really, $2,500 to have somebody your beck and call to read you or whatever? I mean, that just blew my mind that somebody actually put that together.
Well, look at James Brand Prowl. I've seen James Brand Prowl, okay? I have seen James Brand Prowl in person. He's a medium. I don't know if he's a psychic medium, but he's a medium. And, yes, he is gifted. But I don't see putting on a website. This is my personal thing. That when you're going to go and show people your meditation, you're going to charge $30 to $50 just to go and do a meditation. That's just wrong. I can understand that his time is worth money and you're going to go see him and, you know, it costs money to so that he, you know, pays his bills and everything. But to just do a download of meditation, maybe a five-minute meditation and charge $30 to $50, I think that's just wrong.
I mean, and people don't realize, you know, the money that people make at these events is way more than anything they make on TV, you know, and I try to explain that to people that you always have paranormal investigators that are just dying to be on TV, and I've put in a few applications but never got anything back, but it was never like I was going to quit my job and do it. It was a, you know, side thing. And, you know, we talk about the Long Island Medium. She did a show in Rockford, Illinois a few years ago. And
oh, yeah.
You're talking 2,400 people I'm trying to think of the theater there. My buddy would kill me if I didn't say it, but 2,400 people at $60
Why is that?
I forget the name. I love the theater. We've always wanted to investigate it, but could never get in, but it's in Rockford, but 2,400 people at the show, $60 a ticket. And she read 13 people. Now you figure up, you know, 2,400 times 60, you know, you're looking at 120 grand, probably take out, you know, whatever the fee is for the theater or whatever. She walked away with 80 grand probably for one night. And all she read was 13 people and talked for 2.5 hours. You know, and that just blows my mind.
I have seen Teresa Caputo, and she was I paid $75 that night at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. That was probably about, honestly, probably about 3 or 4 years ago.
So it was $75 per ticket, and we were not even on the lower row. Lower. There's upper level, and there's the balcony level. We were in the balcony level, and it was already at $75 a ticket. And if you go, and depending on the lower level, there was three sections. So the back section, the middle section, and the front section right closest to the stage. The closest to the stage were $300 a ticket, literally $300. And it wasn't even a bet. It was like, if you want to get close and maybe get a chance to be read, it was $300 a ticket. So we were on the upper balcony, and we're supposed to start at 7 o'clock. At that time, she was still married to Larry. She was not done. She didn't come out stage until 7:35. It was supposed to start at 7.
You know, we had a chance to read somebody. I say we, my daughter had a chance to read a lady in Las Vegas. We did a Las Vegas Paracon a few years ago. And I just remember, and I don't expect to, you know, I don't expect you to get a feeling, but the thing is, you put that on for TV as, oh, I'm in a grocery store, and I just have to tell you about somebody around you. And she was actually, this lady was worked for the news station out there, and she was doing a show or like a piece at the Pawn Star shop, and Teresa and Larry came in at that time. And she had some major stuff going on, and Teresa didn't pick up on anything or whatever. And we came to the show, and she was like, you know, found out about your daughter. Would she have a chance to talk to me? And she kind of filled me in about this because we went to the Pawn Star shop. And she's like, I really would like for her to talk to me. You know, she's like, Teresa just didn't pick up anything. And I'm like, well, it's nothing new from what we hear from people. And, you know, I made my daughter go out and talk to her because I didn't want her to pay to come into the event. I didn't want her to pay for anything because, you know, you could tell it was somebody that needed a real sense of closure. And what had happened is her fiance had passed away the day before they were to be married. And so, you know, Cassidy went out and talked to her and just really said, you know, he's not here, but your dad is here. And everything her dad said was what her fiance was relaying to her dad. And to this day, she messages us, and, you know, next time you come out here, I want to put you guys on TV. And I said, that's not what we're about. And I think that's the reason that, you know, we never got a show because I think, you know, I told him, I said, she's a teenager. And I said, so you're not going to get us to say anything that's not true, no matter what it is, because I'm not going to risk her being looked at as, you know, questionable or anything else being a teenager because of, you know, what you deal with as being a teenager, you know, anywhere these days. And, you know, if that means that we never got a show, that we were fine with that, because I think that's what a lot of people missed out on, is these shows is all about, you know, just made up anymore. I mean, you can't tell me that you take 20 people to an investigation over 3 or 4 days and all you get's a groan or some kind of EVP, you know. I don't know why that the shows dumb it down for everybody when, you know, it just doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't make any sense. I mean, I've been witness to one of these TV shows coming in and investigating a place, and they were there for 3 or 4 days, and they got so much.
Are you echoing, Maria, really bad? Are you hearing that, Jason?
No, I don't hear it on my side. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, your delay is like you're repeating this after a 1 minute time. 1 minute delay.
Being witness to a TV show coming in and getting all kinds of evidence, and then them playing back 2 or 3 little EVPs, and then them playing jokes on another cast member just to get a giggle. I mean, that was just, to me, unprofessional when they had enough evidence that they could have blown people's socks off. None of it whatsoever was played on the show itself. They played 2 little two little EVPs and maybe something that might have moved, and then that was it. That was done. It didn't do the place justice at all. But now, Jason, you were talking about the gentleman when your daughter was so young.
Yeah, we were at a convention here. We were at a convention here in Louisville. It's been about 6 years ago, Mid-South convention in Louisville. And it was one of our first events we ever went to. We met this guy that did the event. He asked us to come. And so, I mean, you got to realize we looked at this as a gift from day one. We didn't charge for readings. We thought it's a gift. You don't charge for gifts. And then so many people just saying, hey, you got to charge because they're not going to give you anything to come to these events, which we found that out to be very true. So we started charging $10 a person, and that was it. And that didn't have a time limit. That's what I kind of don't understand about a lot of mediums and everything else. You know, it's $30 for 30 minutes or whatever. Well, you know, what happens at the end of 30 minutes? You're halfway in your discussion. Oh, sorry, you know, I got to tell you, the next 30 minutes, you know, sorry, it's another $30. And I never was a part of that because I said, when you talk to somebody, it's, you know, we're done when she's done talking to you. So it's $10, whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. And so this guy, he's from Pennsylvania. His name is Kenny Biddle. He says, I'm awesome. That's what his Facebook is. I am Kenny Biddle. He's part of that Guerrilla Skeptics out of California with Susan Gerbic. I've not had a chance. I just found them out a few months ago in the New York Times. But he comes up to my daughter. We had went to grab something to eat, and she stayed at the table. And when we come back, she said, this guy came up to me. And you got to realize at the time she's 14, he's in his 40s. Says he wanted to film me giving him a reading, said it was for a collage for this convention that he was doing. Later that day, when we got packed up and ready to leave, I'm on the way home and somebody calls me and said, dude, this guy's on Facebook trying to out Cassidy. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, this guy posted on Facebook that he was at a convention in Louisville today and he met a 14-year-old that said she was a medium and he was going to put her out there for being a fake. Well, of course, I'm, you know, about to go through the roof of the car. So he had posted that, you know, I was at a convention today. I went up to get a reading from this teenager, and she cold read me. And he's like, I blocked her from the moment I came up to her. Well, that right there to me was you just outed yourself because you automatically said you blocked her. I don't care how good a medium, psychic, whatever you want to call it, you are. When somebody blocks you, you're not going to be able to read them. So he's like, he's literally taking a poll. Do I call her out for being a fake? Well, there's 400 comments. They're like, dude, 400 comments, dude, you're crazy. I mean, this is wrong in every way. And this guy's got kids. And so I finally get in touch with him. I said, I don't know what your plan is, what you're doing or whatever. And we got into this big discussion. And after a few phone calls from some close friends out in Illinois that I will not mention their names, but he decided not to do this. And he kind of left it alone after that. But the next year, you know, I came up to him face to face and he didn't know who I was because he'd never met me. And I introduced myself and he's like, dude, I apologize last year. I said, it's not the fact you apologize. I said, how sick of a person you have to be to go after a teenager when you have a kid yourself. I was like, you know, I was like, you completely outed yourself by doing this, saying, you know, I was blocking her. So when she told you she couldn't get a reading from you, how is that cold reading when she doesn't give you a reading? I said, you know, I said, you could have been sued, put in jail for filming a minor without anybody around. I said, you didn't think about anything. And I bring his name up is because the New York Times did a story here about a month ago with Susan Gerbic. And like I say, I don't disagree with the way they do things to go after mediums and stuff like that or fakes, because they research through Facebook and they go to these events and they find out people are using Facebook and other websites to read people. But he's a guy that's all about calling out pictures and stuff. His big thing is, you know, photography and somebody bringing a picture they got in Gettysburg. And he literally stated in his article that, you know, it was stated that him and his wife liked this guy because they told him his picture was, you know, they recreated the picture he took in Gettysburg, and the guy was really in tears. And, you know, Kenny goes back to say, you know, he said, it's not, he said, I'm not out to make people cry or feel bad. I'm out to help provide better information and combat the misinformation already out there. But then in his article, he says, you know, I understand approach situations with this in mind. He said, you've got to pretty much have kid gloves. He said, being an asshole will get one nowhere, but being polite and respectful is the best course of action. And I'm like, you made a guy cry, but you laugh about it. And then you tried to go back and say, well, I didn't, you know, that they put that in there and that wasn't how it was. But then you have my situation from 6 years ago to see what kind of guy this really is. So,
right.
You know,
he's out to attack people for a specific reason.
So, any listeners out there, you make sure and you send Kenny Biddle this podcast and let him know that his name's been put out there, because it's, you know, they have a convention in Las Vegas every year called CSICon. And what it is a convention of skeptics. And you know, I'm not a 100% skeptic with mediums, because I've seen the real stuff, you know, and they pretty much go out there. There's no believing from any of those people. They're 100%. It's all fake. You know, even though they put out there, we're out here to learn. We're out here to, you know, we're not out here to prove everybody to be fake, but you have a convention of nothing but skeptics. What does that tell you about, you know, the people you deal with?
You know, I can understand trying to explain something that somebody thinks is paranormal and it's not. Like you're talking about the pictures. You can get, I don't know how many times we've seen something that's had a lens flare in it, and they swear it's a UFO or it's an orb or something like that, and then you have to go into the technical part of it and say no, and this is why it is not. But to literally berate somebody until they cry over something like that, that's uncalled for. That's not what we do. It's not what it's all about.
Yeah, I think the thing, you know, I don't, personally, I don't go into paranormal investigations for personal reasons, but, I think that, you know, when you work on a team like that, you guys are supposed to help each other and learn from each other and share. And nobody is right or wrong. It's a process. And, you know, when you start getting into the ego and start berating people, that's when it really takes the contents of, you know, sharing and learning and helping people. Really, it just has a bad taste. And I think that's just not only in paranormal, but it's in the metaphysical or the spiritual realm. I mean, I do tours, and I see a lot of people, no names or anything, but I see people in the metaphysical world where the tarot card reads, or they're a dime a dozen. It's like it's crazy, you know, and it's like everybody wants to be at the top, but they don't have the discipline. They don't have the patience. They don't have the ego in order to become proficient in what they do, and it's a learning thing every day. Every time you read, you learn and you sharpen that saw. And, you know, with Chinese medicine, it's the same thing with me. You know, I've been doing Chinese medicine. So, you know, I think that's the problem with the paranormal and the metaphysical. The wrong purpose. What do you think, Jason or Maria?
Well, you know, I always find myself looking online at different psychic mediums, or, you know, mediums in general. And one that I came across here lately that just kind of blew my mind. You brought up tarot cards, stuff like that. I mean, they are a dime a dozen. I mean, pretty much, you know, I could start tarot card reading, because, I mean, literally, in my opinion, you can make up a story about anything on those cards, and people pay tons of money to have that done. But
exactly.
I found this lady, and I found this lady, and the way she put this, you know, it does crack me up that when it's you're the medium and it's your website, but you're talking in third person, like, you know, I'm not saying this is Lay's name, but, you know, Sarah will tell you this, and Sarah, like, why are you talking in third person? You're the medium. It's your website, so why are you talking in third person, you know? And this lady posted, in my psychic readings, one area I specialize is in relationships. And she said, when I look at your photos, I can see if someone likes or loves you. And that was just hilarious to me. I'm like, I mean, I don't even know if I could even remotely put that on a website, because, I mean, if you've got family around, obviously, unless they're just, you know, unless you don't get along, they obviously like or love you. And I just thought that was funny. Why would anybody go to a psychic to have somebody tell them if somebody loves them or not? I mean, that's just not something that I would think a psychic or a medium would tell me. You know, I'm looking for past life. I'm not looking if somebody loves me or, you know. So that was just interesting, you know, that she puts that out there. She's like, you know, I can tell with somebody's photo if they're going to be an asset to your company. I mean, just some of the stuff that some of these people put out here, I mean, you wonder how gullible people have to be to go and pay somebody and talk to them like that.
And there's so many broken people. And they want to hear something positive. And they go to things like that. But sometimes get a hold of a medium that tells you like it is, and they walk away madder than hell, and they don't want anything to do with that person anymore.
Exactly. Exactly right. I mean, the last thing, and I mean, I've seen it happen at an event in Illinois a few years ago. You know, this lady come in and wanted to talk to a medium, and I doubt very seriously, you know, and again, I don't even think if I was a medium, I'd want to tell somebody this, because it's not my job, in my opinion, is you don't tell somebody that comes in to get a reading, by the way, your husband's been cheating on you with somebody for the last year and a half, because this lady was in tears, just, you know, hysterical. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not what a medium is. That's not what a medium is supposed to tell you at an event, you know, because if that comes out to be untrue, you know, what kind of hell are you going to catch?
You've already destroyed a relationship.
Exactly.
That's true.
I just don't understand how, I can see somebody telling you the flat out truth about something if they know it's the truth. Like, if I knew somebody was messing around on you, I would, okay, Jason, you know, I didn't get this from the spiritual world. Here's your pictures. But as a medium, to push something off like that destroys lives. That doesn't help anybody. And Sherry, I know you stay away from as much negativity as possible when you go to these readings. You pull out, if there's some kind of dark force that's there, you try to make sure you push it back. And don't pass that along, and don't make connection to that.
That's right.
I think that's the best way to do it. And calling out all of these fakes and things like that, Jason and I've been doing that for quite a while. We message each other back and forth. When we see something crazy going on online.
Well, you know, we talked about it today, and I think the thing that, you know, and I guess if you're not in the field, it's not as easy to pick this stuff out. If you've not been around it for a while, you're new to coming to an event or a convention. But, you know, there was a lady out of Virginia that charges $160 for a 30-minute reading, but then she'll go and do an event somewhere, and she'll charge $35 at her table or $35 for a gallery, you know. And I'm like, so why are you charging so much, you know, to do this in person, you know, somewhere else, but you go to an event, it's like you get a big discount. You know, what if you have four people in your gallery? Well, you're probably going to have to read all four of them, and that didn't pay for the 130-minute reading you would do in person at your home or something. You know, just, you know, you've got some mediums out here that charge for house cleansings. I mean, I saw one that was $300 today. That depends on the location. So it could be more.
Yeah.
if they have to travel to your home from wherever they're from, it says we will, you know, this depends on the travel and the distance. So, you know, can you imagine, you know, somebody living in California and I'm in Kentucky saying, well, sorry, you know, I need you to come cleanse my house because of all the bad stuff. And they're like, well, I'm, you know, I'm 2,000 miles away, so it's going to be $1,000 for me to come do it. I mean, that's what I get from somebody saying it's $300, but it depends on the location I have to travel to. And that's just, you know, I can't believe people have that much money to be that gullible to do something like that.
I remember, and I can't remember this guy's name, but I remember seeing this Facebook post about there was a home that was shown on one of these paranormal TV shows. And they needed help. They needed their house cleansed and things like that. And this guy was asking for money to be sent to him to pay for his trip to this house because he was the only one that could cleanse this house. And he set up, this was before the GoFundMe. And he got people to give him money. They sent him money. And he went to take care of this. There's no way for my trip to where I needed to go to help somebody. I'm not going to ask Facebook land for the investments. I mean, that's just insane. We do this with our own money. We do this because we want to help people.
And that's the thing. I don't think people really understand, you know, Sherry, I think in the 7 years, I say it's 6 years at least, constantly traveling to events and stuff, I probably spent about $30,000, and that is no joke. I mean, we went to lots of conventions. I think we only were comped a room at four places we went. We went 16 straight weekends. We were on the road doing stuff when my daughter wasn't in school and stuff. But, you know, I got rid of a friend of mine. Well, I won't say a friend, but just one of these mediums that, you know, I've kind of looked at online. And I got rid of her off my friends list today because she posted about going to an event. I keep centrally saying Illinois because that's where a lot of stuff happens at. But she literally said, if you'll donate money to this charity, I'll go to this event. And I'm like, why don't you go to the event anyway and raise money for charity while you're there? You know, that's what the event was for, is for charity stuff. You know, it was an open house and stuff. But I'm like, you're telling me if somebody donates $400 to this charity, you'll drive to this event. I'm like, why don't you just go anyway? I mean, why does there always have to be a, you know, some kind of, I don't say hidden agenda, but, you know, people should want to donate to the charity anyway, but what does that have to do with you going to the event? Like I say, we all spend our hard-earned money. We all work a job. We all spend our money doing this stuff, but why I've got to spend more money for you to go and enjoy an event, you know, why don't I just donate to charity and not worry about it? You just go on your own. So.
Right. Well, Sherry, I know that you go to a lot of those where you set up booths.
Say that again. You're repeating. You're echoing, girl.
I know. I keep trying to move around the house.
No.
Not working out real well.
Oh my gosh, this is what I've had. That's on my radio, my other radio show.
Oh, yeah, Blog Talk Story. I know you go to a lot of these events where people set up booths and things like that, and I know you've seen a lot of disturbing things that's happened.
Yes, definitely. I say to myself, you know, it's kind of like I'm not into the drama and I don't feel comfortable being around people, but I go to these places because story readings and standing up on stage, I like to bring some closure and some healing and maybe some comfort in doing psychic or mediumship work. So I do my Chinese medicine, too. So whatever hat I have to play, I will do what I can to bring as much comfort and healing as possibly if there is. So you just, you go in there with the intentions of, it's a humanitarian thing, and I love what I do. So
I just been, you know, very blessed with the gifts. So I've been very happy and just, you know, I love it. But the arena, you know, going to an Oregon Ghost Conference and you know, the metaphysical fairs, I don't like the energy. A lot of times it's just people are a lot of ego. So, and a lot of phoniness. And I'm being honest.
Well, I mean,
I like to stick to myself and do my thing. And if I can bring some impact to a few key people, that's all that matters to me. Is very important.
I totally agree with that, because we've been asked to come to some of these bigger, you know, psychic conventions, you know, psychic medium, whatever they are. And, you know, the guy, his selling aspect to me was, I was like, you know, I don't really want to pay $400 for a table. He's like, but yeah, but all she's got to do is 10 readings at $40 a person, you know. And I'm like, we only charge 20, you know. I'm like, so, you know, I'm like, we actually got offered a spot at a convention one year, and the guy that was doing the convention said, hey, I'll get this private room for her to do readings in, and all you need to do is give me $10 a person from everybody she reads. I said, that's all she charges at the time was 10 bucks. I'm like, so that doesn't make any sense, you know, outside of you just trying to get some money out of her. So obviously, safe to say we didn't go. But, you know, I don't go to an event, and, you know, we don't go to an event to make money. And that's what I try to explain to people, you know, that try to get on these TV shows. You don't get on the TV show to make money from the TV show. I mean, TV shows might pay you $1,000 an episode. You know, you make money at these events when you're on TV. But in the medium world, I guess, you go to help people. If you only make, you know, if you only make your gas money, which we did numerous times, you know, I had to sell sage and a lot of other stuff. Just to, you know, I had to sell sage and pendulum and stuff like that I used to buy. That's how we made our gas and hotel money to where we, you know, almost break even. But I said, it's never about that for us. I said, if I can see somebody that literally got help that weekend, somebody that's literally, you know, just beside themselves because, you know, you gave them closure, that's worth every dime. It's not, you know, so I can help pay for my table while I'm here. You know, and that's what I tried to explain to that guy. It's like $400 is ridiculous for a 1 day event, you know, to buy a table. When you're out there, as you say, competing with 35 other, because you're at a psychic medium convention, so you're competing with 35 or 40 other people. And that's what it is competition when you go to an event like that. That's why I don't think we ever would do an event like that.
That's true.
But I guess, you know.
Wasn't there a time that you all went to an event here at Octagon Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, and the people that put it on was, didn't they kind of hold back some money and kind of lie about a few people that showed up and paid for it, but they tried to act like those people never did come? And they
it was an interesting event, to say the least. You know, we did an event there with a group that I don't think they're still around, but it was Grant and Shannon Boer. And, you know, I told them, I said, we'll come and do the event. And, you know, they were like, well, you guys can split the money with Octagon Hall. And, you know, we don't want anything out of this. And I said, oh, that's fine, you know, because we were coming to do that event that night. And we were going and turning around as soon as we left there and going to do an event in Indiana the next day. And I literally put out there on Facebook, I said, for the first five people that buy tickets to this event, you get a free reading. And that was it. That's all we were going to do, five people, you know. And I think the tickets were $25 or $30 a piece, but that's the investigation and everything, you know, because it was never a thing like say about making money, because you're not going to go and investigate anywhere for that cheap. But I went outside, you know, we got there, got everything set up, and I went inside, and I think we had 25 or so people show up. This lady doing this event had every single person lined up the stairs for a free reading. And I come in and I'm just beside myself. I said, what's going on? And I asked somebody, I was like, well, we're here for the free reading. I said, I don't think so. I said, it was the first five people. I mean, they were from the top of the stairs all the way down two flights. So I went up and put a stop to that in a hurry, because I was like, you know, this is what we posted. Five people, free readings, first five people bought tickets, not 25 people, you know. And she was like trying to apologize. Well, we get ready to leave, and she hands me some money, and I said, well, I said, just put the rest, you know, because the owner is an extremely nice human being. I mean, one of the best you'll ever meet. And I said, just give him the rest. I said, just put it in the donation jar. I said, that way it's taken care of, whatever. Well, I just had this weird feeling. I get to the car, I said, count the money just to make sure, because, you know. So they shorted us $80. Well, then, I was like, doesn't really matter. It didn't really matter. I said, let's just get on the road and go. I said, because we have to get to Indiana and get some sleep before tomorrow. So I call the owner the next day, and I said, let me ask you. I said, what do they give you money-wise? He said, you know, he told me, I think the total amount was like $640 for the event. He said they gave me $160, something like that. So they had taken money after they said they were going to, you know, for us and the owner to split it because it was going back to the hall for, you know, renovations and everything else. So they had taken money and said, well, you know, we need to buy some new equipment, so we're going to take this amount of money. So they not only lied to us, they lied to him. And, you know, that's just, you know, I never got caught up in that event, you know, that kind of stuff again. And when I called them out about it, they said, well, we knew you were all about the money. I'm like, but you told us that you were giving us half the money and the rest of it. We decided, you know, here, we're going to give the rest of it to the hall. But you guys go and take 2/3 of the money for yourself. And they did nothing. I mean, we were the ones that put the event, you know, pretty much got the event together. And that's what people came for. So, you know, promoters are very bad for doing stuff like that. So you really got to watch yourself when you're doing events and make sure you're in with the right people, because we definitely got took that night, as well as Octagon Hall did.
Well, and then they also tried to get into some kind of fundraising event for
the Children's Hospital. Yeah, Children's Hospital. And I actually got in touch with the president of this Children's Hospital, and he said the location they were talking about doing this event and raising money for it closed down 10 years prior. So he actually called them and
collect money for that.
Yep. So luckily they haven't been heard from in a while, and I hope that's the way it stays. And that's the kind of people I go after. If I see, you know, something that's questionable like that, you know, you call yourself, you know, and me and Maria call ourselves paranormal investigators, researchers, but people don't do that. People don't investigate before they do, you know, they go to these events, or they go, you know, to a medium or something like that. That's the whole part in your name is a researcher or an investigator, but people don't do that. And it always cracks me up. That's in your name. So why don't you do that when you're going somewhere to an event or whatever?
I just don't really think they think that far into it. A lot of people don't. They don't think that they need to. Everybody wants to take people as they see them. They don't ever want to think that somebody's going to lie to them. And when you start looking at everybody like they're a bunch of liars and things, then you kind of, I don't know, it just kind of disappoints you, and you don't want to believe in the things that you believe in. It all seems to be fake, and you just it just ruins everything for you. Things that you used to enjoy, you can't enjoy them as well.
Well, you know, we met this guy at the Las Vegas Paracon. He's from Chicago. His name was Edward Shanahan. And as soon as he talked to Cassidy, he was like, he said, you know, I'm a medium too. And he said, I raise spirits up. And I was like, do what? He's like, yeah, I raise spirits up. He said, so I think me and her should do an investigation together, and I'll raise the spirits up, and she can talk to him. I said, no, that's not what we're about. You know, I don't know anybody that would be even remotely interested in being part of something like that, and we're definitely not. I'm like, you don't raise spirits up. You know, you might talk to somebody from the other side, or you like say you help somebody closure wise, but raising spirits up, like, you know, that did not sit well with me at all. And I stayed away from that guy the rest of the weekend, because that is not, in my opinion, what a medium should be doing.
No, because I know a lot of them, especially your daughter. She's learned how to shut that world off so she can live her normal life. The minute she opens up, she's flooded, and she's pushing them back. You know, it's like, go away, I don't want to talk to you right now. I don't know why anybody would want somebody to raise spirits up. They're already excited enough as it is.
I mean, what's your take on that, Sherry? What's some stuff that you've kind of dealt with in a situation like that, or ever had anybody, you know, come across like that?
Oh, I've had been read by so many mediums. I do trades, you know. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, there's very few mediums. I mean, just like practitioners and in medical Qigong, there's very few, if not maybe a couple, that are really proficient in what they do. It's crazy. Yeah, raising spirits up—that's not my thing, you know. I live in a very, myself, like I said on radio, I live a very three-dimensional life. But when I sit down and read a person, I open up that door and get downloaded information. It just comes right out, right, Maria?
Oh yeah, and it's wonderful to hear. I remember I asked Sherry just a little simple question to give me her thoughts on somebody, and wow, I mean, it was 10 minutes of da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, she was nailing everything just exactly like it was. It was incredible to listen to Sherry give that reading. I wish I would have gotten it, because I giggled at it every time I hear it, and I was like, I just wanted to know if you thought she was cute or not.
Oh, she was okay or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love it. No, it's just crazy. You just got to be very wary and just be very discerning, and that's what you can. And I'm glad, Jason, you are. You're not that you don't believe in mediums, not that I don't believe in a medium. It's just that very few know what they're doing and know how to control it. And to me, it's really discipline. I see a lot of people, I want to see you do what you do. I want to, you know, learn how to read the body without even telling people. It's like, I went to school for it. But I also, you know, had a basis of having a natural talent to be able to see those things. I just sharpened the saw. People don't have the discipline. They want you to spoon-fed them and choke it down. They want to know, you know, overnight. It doesn't happen that way. It's time. It's practice. It's discipline. It's patience. It's getting the ego out of the way. It's getting the desire to keep going until, you know, you don't, you just say, oh, I had a bad reading. I quit. You don't do that. You have good readings. You have bad readings. It's just like days. You know, you have them, you ride with it, and, you know, you're just batting average. You can try and get at least an 80%, 90% accuracy in your readings. We're all human. So, you know, there's some practicality on that. So, yeah, it's all good. But it's good to be discerning. Absolutely.
Well, you know, here's a funny instance. We were, you know, we've been through a lot of production companies and heard everything imaginable in the world, you know, told to us. And one of them that we were pitched about 5 years ago is now on TV, and it just kind of cracks me up to watch. And like I say, you know, I've never met the person. It's just watching the way they kind of hold themselves on TV. It's the kid from California, Henry, the Hollywood medium, whatever you want to call him. We were pitched that show 5 years ago, and literally they said, this is what we want you to do. We want you to read, you know, dead celebrities' families. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. I said, because it's a celebrity that's passed. You know, there's going to be everything in the world on the internet about it, everything about their families. So why would you put a show on TV like that when people are automatically going to judge because, you know, you're reading this person, you know, and everything else. And, you know, the three people they actually pitched us was Gary Coleman, Whitney Houston, and Amy Winehouse. And I said, I don't think so. I said, I think it's a horrible idea. And I mean, I guess that's just me, you know, because I guess these production companies are not used to hearing somebody just tell them flat out, look, I'm not going to do it. You know, I think they feel like that they've, you know, they may have got somebody that's gullible enough to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, we'll do whatever, you know, just show us the contract and show us the money. But I was like, that's just setting yourself up for failure, because I'm going to question everything that you tell me, because you're talking about a celebrity whose life has been profiled everywhere in the world on the internet. And just to watch him read people on TV, it's so interesting to me, because he's sweating the entire time. And, you know, they started that show off in a bad light, in my opinion, because they're saying, you know, a small town, you know, kid moves to Hollywood. Well, the difference is, you know, he's a small town in California. It's not like he moved from West Virginia to Hollywood. He's, you know, he moved from one city in California to the other. And so I guess the same goes. You can kind of look this stuff up, and it's no different than what they're doing with these, you know, these celebrities that get on there, and he tells them this stuff. I mean, it's just, we didn't want to be a part of that. You know, they asked her to be, we bring back the Long Island Medium. We were part of that production company in New York, and they wanted her to be the teenage version of that. I'm like, why? I mean, that show's already on TV. Like, that show, the Long Island Medium, is already on TV. So why would we want to do, like, a spinoff of that? Why not have something original, you know?
Do you find her so authentic? I don't care for her style. I mean,
oh, no,
she's got
not,
a good
not even,
reading. Everybody has their own personality and reading. But do you find her, honestly, whether you or you, Jason, or Maria, do you find her authentic? Do you feel like she's naturally gifted or she's a fake? What's your feeling?
I have talked to more than a dozen people that have been around her, and everyone's told me the same thing. That she is as fake, as cold reader as you will ever get. And she is so well trained in it over the years that, you know, I don't find her authentic at all.
And I can't see how she can charge what a lot. And I could be wrong. Last time I saw it was a couple of years ago. I think I do not know exactly what she charges. I know she has like 2-3 year waiting list or something, but I think she charges either $3 to $5 a reading, which I think
exactly is
highway robbery. I mean, it's like, I understand you want to make a living, but you make it so out of the ballpark that people that really need some help or anything can't even afford you. What's
well,
your choice,
I'll
Maria?
Give you. Go ahead, Maria.
I've watched her show a couple of times, and it amazes me. When she walks into a store and then all of a sudden she just does this cold reading on somebody. Well, number one, before that ever happens, the production company has to come in there. There's contracts that have to be signed, this, that, and the other. And I'm sorry, that's wrong. That's not how this works. It can't be anything that is correct, or I mean, it all has. I don't know her. The show turns my stomach, and usually when anything like that turns my stomach, it's just completely wrong.
And I'll give you a real true story about her. This has happened about 5 years ago. We were supposed to do a charity event on the Queen Mary in California, and the money that was going to be raised was going to build a school for kids with Down syndrome. And we got turned on to her from a lady out in Las Vegas that had met us. And Teresa was the main, you know, the main guest is what they were talking about at the time. And, you know, we had a few other paranormal people, whatever, in the paranormal, but she was supposed to be the main guest. So we get a call saying, well, Teresa's not going to be able to make it. I said, why not? What's the deal? She wanted $30,000 to come and do a weekend charity event on the Queen Mary. So you tell me if that's original or not, if that's authentic.
No, charity is charity. You do it for the charity for nothing. You give to charity. You don't take from one.
You know, there's that just. Even if I didn't know her from anybody, that just blew my mind that, you know, you would charge an event that's raising money for something like that. I just never could figure that out.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, when I saw her that night at the Arlene Schnitzer concert hall, she was off. I mean, she was totally off. She was off her game. And I understand we can be, but you got... Man, I mean, she was like hit and missing and fishing around. I mean, you could tell that, oh, you have a piece of jewelry of your mother's and she loves you. Thank you. You know, it's like, that's not, you know, specific enough. You know, oh, yeah. You know, it's just, I just remember I was a waste of $75. To be honest with you, it was a waste of $75. She shouldn't have been reading that night. She actually should have took the day off. But look
you
how
know,
many
they,
people paid for a ticket. That's amazing. It's just amazing how
they've caught her on more than one occasion on YouTube, and I don't go by what I watch on YouTube as catching her, but I watched her on the Ellen Show one day. And, you know, she was on there, and they wanted her to do a reading on somebody back in the green room. And obviously, you know, she goes back to the green room, and she's talking to this lady, and the lady's obviously Spanish, Mexican, or whatever. And the first thing she says, now, you know, you're looking at this lady, and that's, you know, that's what cold reading comes down to when you find these people that do this. The lady has a necklace on, one of those necklaces where it's got two pieces to it. You know, one person's got one half, and one person's got the other half. And literally she looks at this lady and she says, somebody else has got a piece of jewelry that connects to a piece of jewelry that you own. And I'm like, are you serious? Well, then she goes off, you know, and this person that I'm picking up on is like a father figure. And he's got a book that he writes in, but it's not, he doesn't write in English. And I'm like, this is where she's going with this. And I'm like, I'm just like blown away that people are actually believing what she's saying. I'm like, you're seeing the piece of jewelry hanging from her neck. Now you're seeing that she's obviously Spanish or whatever, you know, I forget the lady's name now, but I'm sure it's on YouTube. But I'm like, that is the worst cold reading possible, because you're on live TV and the first two things you pick up on is just a piece of jewelry around her neck that obviously has the other half somewhere to it. And, you know, the fact that she's Spanish, and well, this guy, he's not writing in this book in English. It's, you know, some other language. And I'm like, and how could anybody even focus on that being a true reading, you know? And these cold readers that sit back.
What was the person's reaction, Jason?
Oh, they were just blown away. And I'm like, are you so in awe of being with a, I guess you want to call her a celebrity, that you're not even paying attention to what she's telling you? I mean, I just didn't get that. I think that's the problem sometimes, you know. Yeah.
That's exactly what
happened.
You've got somebody that famous, and they're telling you stuff that they don't know you, and they're picking up on this stuff. I mean, observation, some people have observation skills that are beyond the norm. And they can read, they call it a reading, but they're just giving you the observation that they're seeing, and you're blown away because this person doesn't know you.
Oh, boy.
And I know investigations.
You got to watch out for.
Investigations are not for every medium or psychic, because, like you say, I don't know your situation, but I know some of them don't get into that. But, you know, I've found quite a few, you know, I guess I won't put the word fraud or fakery out there, but they're definitely cold readers, you know, that do these seances and stuff, you know, in Michigan. And I've tried to, in a better term, kind of call them out in a questionable manner to see what they respond back to, because, you know, they're doing this location all the time, these seances, they say these 1800 seances they do. But they show up in regular clothes, you know. I'm like, if it's supposed to be an 1800s type seance, you don't show up in your regular clothes, you know. And they were going through this house up there. It used to be an old hospital. And literally, I mean, you watch them, and it almost gives you a headache to watch them go through the house on live video, because one is literally feeding the other one. You know, they're in the boiler room downstairs, and they're like, I smell charcoal. I'm like, are you serious? That's what you're coming through with, I smell charcoal. When you know you're in the boiler room where, you know, where this big boiler used to be, there's soot all over the walls. And I'm like, you know, and I'm just like banging my head against the wall. I'm like, why are people actually watching this and getting, you know, interested in doing this when you're like, everything they said about the place was completely off. You know, and they got upstairs, and you got to realize this used to be an old hospital. Now it's a home that people live in. And they're like, I feel like there's a lot of nurses on this floor. Well, it used to be a hospital. I'm like, this is what you guys are telling people on a live video. But you got so many gullible people out there, that just like, oh my gosh, can't believe that. And I'm like, do you not realize where they're at? So, you know, and I watched one of them do a reading at a convention up there, and she was getting nowhere with this person. And then she starts, I love this about cold readers, is she closes her eyes and looks up to the ceiling like she's waiting for God to give her an answer, you know, or somebody to come through. And she's like, my spirit guides are just not telling me anything right now. And, you know, they're searching for what's the next thing they can possibly tell this person because they've been so off the whole time. And, of course, this person's sitting there, you know, like, where'd my $40 go to that I just gave you, you know? You know, you'll have the people write it down, and they're looking at the paper, and you know the medium is like, well, you know, I've not got anything that you relay to today, but you know, just make sure that you go back and look at what I told you, and I'm sure in the next couple of weeks you'll figure it out. Oh, that's great, just what I wanted—a 2-week-long reading, you know. That you told me a bunch of stuff, and I have to go back and try to figure out 2 weeks from now. Maybe she did tell me about my dog or something. You know, just that stuff like that just blows my mind when they want you to write down stuff, and you're like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, it'll come to you. It'll come to you. You know, so.
Yeah, and it's
no,
it,
I've heard
it,
that
it's a lot
too.
Of people.
No.
Yeah. It's
I'll
a lot
still
of
come
people.
To you. That's very classy.
If a lot of people would just research the mediums that they want to get a reading from, if they just, you know, because everybody's got something on YouTube, everybody's got something on Facebook, and if you'll just spend the time researching this person, then you'll know whether or not you want to invest your money into a reading with that medium. That's what you're supposed to do. But people don't understand that. They just want a message from someone that they love that passed away, and they will absolutely believe anything that they're told from the medium. And it's sad to watch.
It is. Yeah, instead of being discerning. That's absolutely, I agree 100%.
Well,
I mean, probably the...
We are out of time.
Oh, okay.
We can do this. For another 30 minutes, but yeah, we're out of time tonight.
Well, I appreciate you all having me on. It's been a blast, and last but not least, maybe I'll get to the Cannon Beach sometime, and I'll definitely look you up, Sherry.
Yes, definitely. Yes, yeah. Come on. Just hit me up, and I will get back to you. Where are you coming from? What state are you out of?
I'm in the awful state of Kentucky, just like
Maria. Hey now.
I've never been there.
Well, Jason, I want to
all
thank
right.
you
well,
so
thank
much.
Thank you so much for being our guest, and especially on short notice. And thank you, Maria, for getting him. That's awesome. Very good conversation.
Well, thank
you know, it's I can relate wholeheartedly and share and learn from what other people have experienced and said. So, Jason, thank you. We'll have to have you back, and would love to, you know, would love to get you back and talk about something related to that. So, thank you.
Definitely. Thank you all for having me.
Well, Sherry, I tell you what.
All right, Maria.
I absolutely love to talk to Jason. I mean, this could have gone on for 2 or 3 hours. It's incredible.
I know. I can imagine. This is. I mean, he's really good energy, and I'm glad he's discerning because we need more people that are discerning. You know, not closed-minded,
right.
But discerning. Big. There is absolutely a big difference. So
yes.
Next week we're going to have. I'm going to announce. We're going to have from the paranormal team out of North Carolina. It's is it Night Stalker?
The paranormal.
I get the two mixed up, Maria.
It's paranormal
Night Stalkers. I get them mixed up, but Michael Smith is going to be coming our way, and he's the other half of the NPC network. So. Yes, we're going to talk about the paranormal again, and we're going to talk about what to watch out for, and just no holds barred. So love Michael's energy and just love to his observation in the paranormal and the metaphysical field, and he's just a wealth of information, a beautiful soul, and we look forward to next week having him on the show.
And I want to thank Jason again, because whether or not he likes to wear the crown of the EVP King, he is, because that man's ears when he's doing a live session is incredible. And he can back it up with his recorder every time. So thank you again, Jason. I can't wait to meet up again with you and your daughter, Cassidy, because Cassidy is just absolutely a beautiful soul inside and out. So with
that's
that,
awesome.
I'm going to tell everybody, good night. And
hey,
thank
take
you,
care,
Sherry.
Everybody. And thank you for supporting Paranormal Horizons with Jason and Maria and I, Sherry, Psychic Medium Sherry. So have any questions, go ahead and go on my website at www.psychicmediumsherry.weebly.com, or you can reach me on Facebook at Psychic Medium Sherry, C-H-E-R-I. Okay, until next
and
week,
you,
folks, take care. Thanks a lot. Peace.
Look up Sherry. You will not regret it, I promise you.
Thank you, Maria.
Good night, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.